Teenagers that have been raised in church, you have heard so much Bible, you have heard so much doctrine, that your heart almost becomes calloused to a good message. And breaking up that callous is what is required for the seed of God's word to be planted deep in your heart and affect life change. These teen conferences are designed to affect life change, as long as you're willing to come here with a heart that's softened towards the Word of God. Our next speaker, Brother Warren, is one of Calvary Baptist's own preachers. He's trained here. He's a good friend of mine. My old Sunday school teacher, Sam Varghese, said, well, he's in the middle slot. That makes him the baloney. Well, in this case, he'd be a baloney in a gluten-free sandwich. And I'm not entirely sure what that even means. But I guarantee you this, his message is not going to be baloney. There's one thing, if I was going to define Brother Warren, it is a servant's heart. Since I've seen this man get saved, he has been plugged in. He just wants to serve God in whatever aspect. I've never come to him with a need for anything to do with the ministry of this church and had him even hesitate and say no, because he has a heart to serve, and we all can learn that. He is the leader of our Hope Ministry. It's an addiction program that this church is trying to get on its feet. And he's a good friend of mine. So, Brother Warren, come preach.
I don't know if the message will live up to that introduction. Before we begin this morning, I just want to talk to you just for a moment about conferences and our thought process that goes into it. A lot of times when we go to conferences and we go to men's conferences, my wife and I have been to a couple conferences, you always wonder, what are they going to preach on? You know, when you look at this idea of a chosen or to be used of God, there are countless topics, themes. You could look at salvation, separation, holiness, sanctification, purification. The list is long. There's only so much time that we have to in this eight-hour day to really break apart God's word. So I want to challenge you, as if we didn't preach on something that God laid on your heart and say, I wonder if they're going to preach on this. Jot it down on that paper. Just because we didn't cover the topic doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use even just the idea of a conference to speak to you. Right. Just because we're not covering it in a message doesn't mean that God isn't speaking to your heart and saying, hey, maybe you're good in this area. Maybe you've decided. Maybe you have a heart's desire, but you need to focus on this area. Jot it down, think about it, pray about it, and say, God, what do you have for me for this? Because so many times we think of just what God has for us in the preaching service or in the song service. But God has so much more for us than just this little bit of time. It's all in the time and preparation and prayer leading up to what we have this afternoon. So this is kind of really unrelated to the message, but just kind of something that God laid on my heart as we were sitting there listening. Because, you know, when you preach at these things, you wonder, what is the other guy going to preach about? You wonder, okay, what's his text going to be? What are his points? And am I going to preach the same thing? Is he going to preach first and steal my text? There's a lot of questions that you have to ask, and you always wonder. So just jot that down and be mindful of that. Don't stand yet, but I want to look at this idea of being chosen and used of God. I want to really break down what it means to be used in its definition. Here at Calvary Baptist Church, we have a church mowing ministry. And what that ministry does is, for some of the older families, some of the single ladies, we provide a mowing lawn service. You know, if military members are deployed, we'll go and mow their yard. And that's a service the church provides. So when that's doing something for someone. The church says, this is what we're going to offer. We're going to offer a church mowing service. These are the people that are going to do it, and this is when they're going to do it. You know, depending on their work schedule, they choose when they're going to do something for God, for that person. I've been involved in that ministry. I choose. I look at my schedule for the week. Okay, I've got church on Wednesday, institute on Thursday. I can mow Monday, I can come to your house and mow. So I'm doing something for that person. I'm choosing what I'm going to do. I'm going to come mow. I'm choosing the day that I'm going to do it. And I'm going to choose how to do it. I'm going to bring my mower, my weed eater. And I'm going to choose, and I'm going to set the parameters of exactly what it is I'm going to do for you. And so many times, there's a difference between doing something for God and being used of God. If we're going to be used of God, we have to understand that God sets the parameters of the relationship. God dictates what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and when we're going to do it. And I appreciate the message this morning because we've got to have a heart's desire. We got a desire that we're going to serve God. Then we have to decide if we're going to fulfill that heart's desire. And this morning we're going to look at the life of Paul, a portion of scripture that's very familiar, and you probably heard it preached on a bunch of times, but I'm a simpleton and it takes me a while to understand the basic truths. We got to get the basics down before we got to get addition down before we can get to algebra. So if you have your Bible with you, turn over to the book of Acts chapter 16. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, and that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. Lord, we thank you for the safe passage here. We thank you for the great message we heard this morning. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word that we would just continue to build on this thought and this idea of what it means to be chosen and used of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Please thank you for standing in the word of God. So as we looked at the criteria to be used of God, God sets the parameters of that relationship. He sets the what, the when, the how, what exactly we're going to do. And as Brother McIntyre laid out this morning, we got to have that heart's desire. We got a desire to want to serve God. Because without that desire there, we're not going to go anywhere. And we got to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to answer to God's call? What are we going to do? Are we going to decide to do what God asks us? And in our passage here this morning, we're going to look at three things that Paul has already done. We see a determination. So once you make that decision, you got to determine that I'm going to do something for God. Then we see communication. We see Paul communicating with God. If we're going to be used of God, we're going to have to communicate. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to read our Bibles. And second, and lastly, we're going to have to obey. It requires obedience. Now, I like Paul because when you look at this theme, Paul is exactly that, a chosen vessel. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Bible says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So when we look at the life of Paul, the Lord said he's a chosen vessel. So if this is what we're desiring, if this is our heart's desire to be a chosen vessel, it would behoove us to look at the life of Paul because the Lord said, he is my chosen vessel. So that's why we're looking at the life of Paul here. So the first thing we need to see is that Paul was determined. He was a chosen vessel to bear his name unto the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, he was an apostle. So he was determined to do exactly what God wanted him to do. And we see that in verse, in verse 7. "After they were come to say it, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." That word "essayed" there means to be determined. What does it mean to be determined? Well, Paul uses that verse somewhere else, over in the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, just to really understand Paul's determination and level of what he was willing to do and wanting to do to fulfill his call in his life. Hebrews 11, verse 29. This is talking about the Israelites as they fled from Egypt. In Hebrews 11, verse 29, it says, "By faith, they, being the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." So if we look at that word in context in Hebrews chapter 11, we know that the Pharaoh's army was pursuing the Israelites with passion, with energy. They were determined to bring them back. That's the same word we find here in Acts chapter 16. That's the level of determination that Paul was willing to go through to fulfill his call. He said, "God's called me to preach. God's called me to be an apostle. I want to go there. That's what I'm going to do." That was the level of determination. That's what we need. We need to be determined that we're going to do something for God. We need to be determined that whatever it is, I'm going to do it. We will never accomplish anything in this life for God, for ourselves, for our family, for our employers, for nothing, if we don't determine that I'm going to do it. We determine all day to do different things. We determine we're going to check our Facebook. We're going to check our Twitter account. We determine, you know, some of us that have jobs, we determine to go to work. Because if we don't, we won't have a paycheck. So we determine all sorts of things. But if it comes to being used of God, we have to determine that nothing is going to get in the way of that. Right. Nothing's going to get in the way of my relationship. Nothing's going to get in the way of my service for Him. We have to be determined. Right. Determine that you're going to do the right thing regardless of the cost. Yeah. Determine that I'm going to serve God regardless of the circumstances. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when we think about the ministry and we think about serving God, it doesn't always pan out the way we think it's going to. It's not as glorifying as we think it's going to be. You know, as Brother Nelson mentioned, I'm involved in the Hope Ministry. We've been going now for a couple months. We've had, you know, I can count the number of visitors on one hand. It's going to be a long, tough road. Does that change God's calling? No. You know, there's missionaries that work and labor in the field. for years on end.
That's right.
And struggle day in and day out. It doesn't change God's call. It doesn't change God's plan for them.
Amen.
It takes a level of determination that I'm going to do it regardless. If God has called you to do something, I'm sure some of the young men here have been surrendered to preach, and there's probably other callings. God's probably led us in different areas of our life. Could be to be a Sunday school teacher or a helper, sing in the choir, sing specials. There's a whole host of areas which God leads us to. You know, there's only a few areas where people are specifically called, but that doesn't mean He leads us in a direction to serve Him, serve in the bus ministry, serve in junior church. There are tons of areas where we can serve. And some days, those days aren't good. There's trials. It's a struggle to come in early, to prepare a message. But you just have to determine, hey, I'm going to do it regardless.
Right.
It takes determination.
Right.
Secondly, it takes communication. We're going to go ahead and read through just a couple of these passages again, and I'm going to butcher the names of the cities because that's just nerves and everything else. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Paul was determined to do what he was going to do. He was determined to preach the word. If you had to compare the Pharaoh's army chasing the Israelites and his determination to go into Asia, that's pretty comparable. But he didn't. He obeyed. God said, no, you're not going to Asia. No, you're not going to go to this place. It requires communication. How does God communicate with us? Prayer, Bible reading, faithfulness to church, faithfulness to teen activities, youth activities, faithfulness to youth conferences. It takes communication. And you're probably thinking, great, another preacher using the pulpit as a whipping post. Those things are all important for various reasons. If you want to walk with God, you got to have those things. If you want to have a relationship with God, you got to pray. You got to talk to Him. But if your heart's desire is to be used of God, you have to communicate. If I want to, you know, we looked at the mowing ministry, and we said that this is the parameters of the relationship. You know, we set what we're going to do, when we're going to do, how we're going to do it. Back in a couple years ago, I was TDY to Germany. My wife, we have a cat, so I didn't want to really confess my sin in front of y'all, but it is what it is. And I was gone, I was over in Germany, and my cat brought a bird into the house. And well, the bird wasn't dead. And the bird woke up and started flying around my house at 4 or 5 in the morning. My wife can't catch a bird, was freaked out by it, and she got on thing, text some people, and got a hold of Brother Nelson. Said, hey, can you please help me and catch this bird? So Brother Nelson, in his kindness, came over to the house at the wee hours of the morning on his way to work and caught the bird and released it outside, and all was well. Brother Nelson, in that situation, was used by my family because of communication. It requires communication. There has to be a back and forth. If God wants me to do something, I have to talk to Him to find out exactly what it is. If God wants to use me for something, I have to be listening continually. And I am certain that God communicates. In every facet of our life, God communicates to us. God communicates to us when we come into the church morning, in the service. There's been times where I've walked by a piece of white fuzz on the ground, and I'm so focused on what I'm going to do that I didn't see it, or I didn't stop. And a moment later, I see my preacher over there vacuuming. God spoke to me and said, hey, you should have picked that up. You know, when we go out on visitation, God talks to us. He says, hey, you should knock on this door. Hey, there's a person out there getting out of their car. Go witness to them. Don't just hand them a tract, but go tell them what my son did. If you give devotions, I know our Master's Club program, the young men there, as they're growing through, they give devotions. God probably speaks to their heart about a passage. The young ladies and young men that sing songs, I guarantee God is speaking to their heart about what to sing. You know, when we talk about all the points lining up for conferences, you ever been in those services where the songs and everything just lines up, but no one talks to each other? God's orchestrating and communicating all that. God communicates with us in every area of our life. And the only way we're going to hear that communication is if we talk to Him. And He talks to us. And the only way we talk to Him through prayer, through spending time on our knees before Him, entering the throne room of God. And He talks to us by being faithful to church, being faithful to our Bible reading. We have to communicate with God. You can go through life as a saved Christian. You can come to church services. You can kind of maybe show up here or there for a fellowship. And you can do that, and you can have some joy. But this is about being used of God. If you want to be used of God, if you want, say, God, I want to be used of You, I want to serve You, I want to do everything that You ask of me, it requires these things. This isn't just mediocrity, this is what God calls us to do. If you're going to be used of God, you have to be determined that I'm going to do it regardless, and you have to communicate. You have to communicate with God. And God's communicating us in every area of our life. And lastly, we see obedience. We see obedience. We see that down in verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we had endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. We see some more communication. God speaking to Paul, directing his life. And we see Paul's response, obedience. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. Immediately. We're not going to get anywhere if we're not obeying God. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't just say, "Yes, Lord," and go and do it. Brother Nelson was talking about being saved later in life. I don't know if I would go back too far as to say that I wish I was saved earlier, because I wouldn't have the life that I have now. I wouldn't have the memories and the experiences and what God has called me to do today. God would maybe have a different plan. I don't know. But I am certain that if you learn it at a younger age just to obey, just to do what's right now, it's going to get easier. You know, right now there's limited things that you're called to do. There's limited areas of service. There's limited challenges and trials as a younger person. Because when you get older, God's going to put you in compromising situations, maybe quit your job, to maybe move somewhere you don't want to go, to maybe go somewhere and do something that you're not quite comfortable with. The sooner we learn to obey and just say, "Yes, Lord," right now, immediately, the better off we're going to be in the long run. Because of our sinful nature and patterns and habits, the longer you delay doing that, it's just going to be that much easier. Why do we grind this into little kids? Obey, obey, obey. Why? Because we know that this is the only way we can truly serve God. It's not about selfishness. It's not about, yeah, they need to do right, but ultimately they just need to do right for us, so that way they'll do right for God. Obey immediately. And the younger you are, and the more you can get this idea down, the better off you're going to be, the happier you're going to be serving God. Amen. You got to obey immediately. And oftentimes that's not the case. A lot of times God will say, "Go jump in a pond." He's not, this is an illustration. Go jump in the pond. And we sit down and we dangle our feet off the dock. Yeah. And we play around and we splash a little bit. And we have this partial obedience. God's called me to do this, but I don't want to do all of that, but I just want to do a little bit. God's called me to preach, but I don't want to preach what God wants. I just want to preach what I want to. God's called me to sing choirs, and I think He wants me to, but I want to sing what I want to sing. I want to sing the latest songs out of Heartland. I want to sing the songs that everyone likes. That's partial obedience. We're just meeting God halfway. We're meeting God just a little bit. We're just doing a little bit of what God asks us. And there's a danger to that. There's a danger to partial obedience. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to read two verses, and then we'll kind of lay down our point. Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." And then flip over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Bible reads, "Many will say to me," speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, "in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There is power in God's word. God's word, you know, as we looked in Hebrews, divides. It pierces the heart.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter who's, it does matter if we're being used of God. But if I'm choosing just to do something for God, there can be results. If I didn't pray and I didn't study God's word and seek the leadership of God for this conference, I could have preached the message and God would have spoke to your heart, because that's the power of God's word. That's just doing something for God. That's not communicating with God. And here, in our Matthew 7:22, we see that in thy name cast out devils. How is that possible? That's the power of Jesus Christ's name. They were able to do something for God, and there was results because of the power of God's word. So we need to understand that results does not mean being used of God.
Right. Yep.
Results does not mean that I was used of God. It simply means that God used what I did for him. And there is two different, it's different.
Amen.
"And in thy name done many wonderful works." These are, now we're taking a little out of context, but these are people saying, "God, I did this for you. God, I was doing this for you. I came out to visitation for you. I did this." And it's partial obedience. And here's the danger to these things. So we preach a message, and people come to the altar. And we say, "Wow, look at what God did. God used me. Look at all the people that came to the altar." We sing a song, and man, that was a great song. It spoke to my heart. That's the power of God. We go out on visitation, and God says, "Go knock on that door. Go talk to that person." And what do? Oh, you look at the stack of tracks in your hand, and you go, "I got to get this whole row done. Look at all these houses. I don't got time to talk to these people. I'm scared." And so we dismiss what God wants from us. And we go through, and then Sunday morning, we got a packed house, and we go, "Wow, look how great God is. God, you know, I was able to do all this for God." Results do not mean obedience, and results do not mean that we're being used of God. It just means that God's word is powerful. It means that God's word works. So if you're using partial obedience, and you're just dangling your feet in the pond, and you're seeing results, don't convince yourself or trick yourself that you're being used of God.
Right.
Only you can really know if you're being used of God.
Right.
There are some evidences in a church, at conferences and sermons and messages where everything lines up, services where the songs line up with the preaching. There are times where you can see, man, God really used everyone today. And there are times when it doesn't work out. Does God orchestrate everything every single time? No. Is that because people aren't preparing themselves? Or is it just that God wasn't doing that day? Only the person doing those things, only the person that is serving God is able to discern whether or not they're being used. The church affirms people that are called to preach. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it to others. That, you know, I say, "Hey, I want to start to preach," and they go, "Oh, that makes sense." You see young ladies sing specials, they have a godly heart, and they have a talent for God, and God's using them, and you go, "Well, that makes sense." It's gotten you that far. But are you continuing to be used? As we heard, it's not just a one-time decision. It's not a flu shot and go, "I did that." No, it's continual.
Right.
It takes continual communication once you surrender to God in a certain area of your life. Partial obedience does not work to be used of God.
Right.
We don't use a glass one time. We continue to use it over and over and over again. Till it breaks, or we just retire it. But God doesn't retire us. He takes us home. Partial obedience does not mean that we're being used of God, and results don't mean that we're being used of God. So we got to determine that we're going to serve God. We got to have that heart's desire. You got to say, you know what, God, I want to serve you. And as we heard with his illustration about the weight loss, it takes determination to say no to that second donut, even to the first one. I know because I have that problem. That's determination. You got to say no. You got to decide and have a heart's desire that I want to serve God. Then you got to be determined. Saying, no matter what, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Then you got to communicate. Okay, God, you've gotten me this far. What's next? What do I do today? What do I do tomorrow? Then we got to obey and just say, yes, Lord. God's not going to continue to give us instructions and directions because he's going to go, I already gave you directions and you didn't follow that. We have to communicate and we have to obey. And then we see the impact of all of this. Back over in Acts chapter 16. So we left off in verse 10, but starting in verse 11, therefore, losing from Troas, we came through with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman, which resorted there. And a certain woman, named Lydia, a seller of purple of that city of Thyatira. So we see Paul come across Lydia. Very, you know, this is one of the more important passages. Not more important, but one of the well-known passages. Then if we continue down through this passage, we see where Paul goes in jail. Then he encounters the Philippian jailer, which is another more well-known passage. So we can see the impact and the results of obedience. You know, we say that Paul was used of God. He was a chosen vessel. And we see the results. We see the results in his life. Does that mean that every single time that we do what God wants, that we're going to see people saved and we're going to have this miraculous revival? Possibly. Maybe not. I'm pretty confident that if more Christians did what God wanted him to do, communicated and obeyed, we'd see a lot more work in our churches. We would see God doing a lot more in our lives. We'd see God doing a lot more in our visitation and all the other things that we're involved in if people did exactly what he wanted. God doesn't fail in his plan. We fail him. And so we look around and we say, what's going on in our church? We're what's going wrong. I'm the problem. You're the problem. We need to always be communicating with God, always being obedient, always saying, God, what's next? God, what would you have me to do? And when we fail and we don't do that, we need to get down on our faces and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. Help me tomorrow. Lord, what would you have me to do today? I failed you today. You told me what to do. I disobeyed willfully. I chose not to do what you told me to do. God, please forgive me. Help me tomorrow. It requires action on us. And I think if we as Christians do that, we're going to see revival in our churches. We're going to see God doing more work. Our country's upside down. We have all sorts of problems. But that's them. Yeah, we need to be concerned about the world. Christ died to save them just as he died to save me. We need to be concerned about the lost and what's going on outside of our door. But do I get more focused on them than what I do for God? Am I more focused on doing things for God? Thinking that I need to do this for God. I need to do that for God. And we run around and do all these things for God, but God says, I only want you to do this. We will never know what God will do in our life. We will never know the results of our decisions if we don't simply surrender to God and say, yes, Lord. We may get a handshake, we may get a pat on the back, we may get an amen, and we may get all these different things and say, wow, God is great. We have no idea how great God could be. Our pastor preached a message on just receiving just part of the blessings. I think we limit God and withhold God so much because of our own decisions and what we think is right and what we think we need to do for God. Well, let's stop thinking what we need to do for God and ask God, God, what do you need me to do? Turn it back on ourselves and say, God, how can I serve you today? I think of all the different areas. You know, we mentioned visitation. We mentioned church cleaning, grass mowing. There's times where I've been pulling out of the parking lot and God will say, hey, you didn't sweep that. You know, you didn't sweep that one part of the sidewalk, and I turn around, get my broom, and I sweep it off. That's not me. That's God saying, hey, you forgot to do something. And that was accomplished. How many times does God speak to you in your life for something that you didn't do or failed to do, and you had to go back and fix it? And how many times do we actually go back and fix it, or do we just say, someone else will get it, or it's not that big of a deal? You want to be used of God? You want to see God work in your life? Start with the small things. Isn't that what God's word says? To him that is who does little is given much. Paraphrasing and butchering that passage, but we got to be obedient in the little things first. And then once God can trust us and knows that, hey, he's going to listen to me. He's going to obey. They're going to do what's right. She's going to listen to what I have to say, what song to sing, what to do, how to serve. Then I'll give a little bit more. Then I'll give a little bit more. And eventually you'll see God start to work in your life and you'll see things happen and you'll go, how did that happen? All I did was just obey a little bit. And God does miraculous things. I think we can learn a lot from the life of Paul. Just in this one little passage. There is an insurmountable amount of knowledge, but we fail at the most basic things. We hear preaching time and again about prayer. Why? Because so many of us fail at it. We hear preaching about read your Bible, spend time with God, read God's Word. We're Baptists. People have died, suffered, countless people, millions have died for this book that we can have. We defend it. We stand up for it, argue about it. How much time do we spend in it? Read God's Word, read God's Word. Why do we keep telling that? Because none of us are. Well, some of us are. I can't say none of us, but we don't spend nearly as much time. We'll pick up another book to hear what some man said about God's Word. Why do we keep hearing all these things? Because we're not doing this. We want to see God do so many great things in our lives. Let's get the basics down first. Communication, obedience, and a determination that we're going to serve God. Then we'll see God work more. Then we'll see God do more in our lives. Because God wants to. I wonder how much we actually limit ourselves. God did the miraculous things in the Old Testament. The walls of Jericho falling down and parting the Red Sea and all these different things. And I wonder if God would act and work like that today. And if he doesn't, it's because of us. Because of our own hindrance in our lives and our own, well, I need to do this and I need to do that. Is God going to do those things? Who knows? We'll never know unless we actually start reading his word, obeying, communicating, and doing the little things that he asks. That's where we need to be. We got to start over and say, God, I'm going to be determined to do the basic things. Just obey. Just pray. Just talk to you. And we do those things, I think we're going to see God do miraculous things in our lives. You'll see God do things in your own life. And you'll go, wow. And you'll praise God and you'll go, God is so great. Why? No. He's just doing what God said he did. You know, God said, I'm going to do this. We get amazed when we see God work instead of just realizing that that's what God wants to do all the time. So we got to be determined. We got to communicate. We got to obey. And we do those things, we'll see the results. So let me ask you here this morning, where are you in this process? You know, what does God lay on your heart before you even got here? I wouldn't be surprised if someone was lost. This isn't a salvation message, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone goes, man, I hope they don't preach on salvation. I'm tired of hearing about salvation. I wouldn't surprise me at all if someone thinks, I just wish they would leave me alone. I'm okay. You got to determine to get saved. You got to make that decision. That's the very first step, as Brother McIntyre said. Maybe you need to determine just to pray and read your Bible. Maybe you've gone a little bit further in your Christian life, and you've surrendered some things, and you're in service, and you're serving in the teen class, and you're serving downstairs in junior church and the kids' ministries, and you're singing in the choir. Are you communicating with God still? Are you still seeking His leadership? Are you saying, God, okay, I've got a special coming up. What do I need to do? Will you please lay a song on my heart? Will you give me some direction? And just because you did it one time before doesn't mean that you can stop. Yeah. Every time you do something in God's name, He wants to be involved. He wants to direct it. So maybe you needed to say, God, you know what? I haven't been seeking your leadership. You know, I prayed and I fasted and Lord, you spoke to my heart and you told me this is where I want you. That's great. Praise the Lord for that. But what's next? Mm-hmm. Once you get to point B, you can't stop. You got to keep going. Got to keep communicating. Keep praying. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. God does. It's not up for me to know where you're at. It's not up for me or your, you know, it's good to talk to your pastor and things, but it's a relationship between you and God. And you have to really look at what you're doing and ask yourself, am I just doing something for God? Am I just picking things that I think I should do? Or am I really praying and communicating and talking to God and allowing God to use me? And that's a question I can't answer for you. That's a question you have to answer for yourself. Let's go ahead and stand.